Welcome to Wild and Awake, an online retreat where you deepen your consciousness, arouse your courage, and choose with wisdom. We are exploring the question, how do I live my best life right now? I am your host, Kari Vantine. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Wild and Awake. We are so lucky to have with us today, Alila Rose Grace. Welcome, Alila.
Thank you so much, Kari. I'm so blessed to be here and with the community.
I'm thrilled to have you. And for everyone who's with us today, we are going some really wondrous places. So lean in. And I would like to share a little bit. Hey, right? I'd like to share a little bit about Alila so you know who she is, and we have a little platform where we're going. So please take a deep breath, maybe land with your hand on your heart, close your eyes for a moment, and just be with us. Alila Rose Grace is an international speaker and writer, inspiring women from all over the globe to claim their sovereign sexuality, healed through trauma, and become body literate. Alila is the founder of Mahina Menstrual Cup and Beesteen Academy, is a holistic pleasure, period, and wellness coach, and she encourages the awakening of your soul's mission through the translation of your innate body's wisdom. Alila has studied with a wide range of masters and leaders while globetrotting. All of her teachings have been alchemized through her to bring you the most cutting-edge soulful experience. Alila blends her embodiment of Shakti, the divine feminine, awakening, and relentless optimism with modern modalities of holistic wellness, pleasure practices, neuroscience, and somatic embodiment. She has a profound ability to weave the ancient with the present moment.
Thank you.
And then one thing not mentioned on your bio that I just absolutely love is that you have loved dancing since you were a little girl. For your own pleasure and for professionally, and and I share a profound love of dance. So
yes, and actually, if you were to dig a little bit deeper, I think it's like, let's get a closer look, or let's get to know each other better. The first thing I do say is I have been dancing since I was 3 years old, and you know, some people write poetry, some people write music, some people make art. And for me, dance has always been the way that I feel, express, and make art. And it comes through my body. And even starting there is such a big piece of the work that I do, is really how much can we feel and move inside our body.
Oh, absolutely. A beautiful place to start. And I would also just like to let everyone know that I have taken both a retreat, the Beesteen retreat with Alila, as well as done what was called the Empress Way course.
Yes.
And so I'm here speaking from someone who just has deep appreciation for your work, your teaching, and the practices that you hold, and want to bring them here to our community in the way we're able to share today. So thank you.
Beautiful. Yes. Thank you so much.
I would like to start actually with a topic that I think is a question that is underneath the surface for a lot of people. And so I feel like it's good to just bring the under the surface things to the top.
Yeah.
We use the term tantra quite a lot, tantric, tantra. And that term, I think is misunderstood by a lot of our culture. And it has often been sort of goes into a place of shame, or it is about sex, or it's dark. There's a darkness to it, or a shadow. Could you shine some light on that shadow? I think it's helpful for us to just understand the bigger arc of the term.
Yeah, thank you so much. And what a fun place to start. So I've been studying with Tantra since, I think, 2008. So I like to call myself like OG Tantra. My first Tantra teacher was the late Salma Isadora. And she ignited something inside of me. And I was like, what? I don't know what this is, but I'm going to follow it. And I followed it around the globe, and I went with her to India and studied with her in California. And I really was so hungry for this experience of Shakti, or the divine feminine awakening within the body. And then how do we bring Shiva, or the divine consciousness, into union, into marriage? So the word Tantra itself means to weave. So we're weaving the light and the dark, we're weaving the pleasure and the pain, we're weaving the experience of life into one moment and going, whatever it is, it's all good. Whatever it is, I can hold it. Whatever it is, I can love it. So it's kind of, the tantra is the art of loving all that is. So I'm just going to like bring it around for a moment, because when we talk about living our best life, it's not about reaching for our best life. So like from a tantric perspective, living my best life is showing up authentically in this moment as the best version of myself and loving what is. And like that would be a tantric perspective of coming into this space, which is exactly how I feel. And so I did this really funny thing, because I started studying tantra really early on, before like the trend wave. And I started teaching tantra workshops and attending tantra festivals and tantra retreats. And I was really like up and coming in the tantra space. And then something happened, and the word tantra got really diluted, right? And people started, like you said, misunderstanding, like, oh, does tantra mean sex? And I was like, actually, I'm celibate. And I'm a tantric practitioner in my celibacy. So tantra is, and the highest form of tantra is we go into union, physical partnership. But there is a decade of studies, solo practices, experiences that we have to really, we can't cut to the top. So it almost became everybody took. So it's like going to a buffet where there's luscious meals ranging from sweet to savory. And you're like, I just want the cake. And so like the collective's version of tantra felt like the cake, like, ooh, I'm this multi-orgasmic squirting woman and divine consort with a beloved. Like that was the cherry on top, but there's so much trail to get there. So like, I kind of hold that here, right? And I meet people where they're at on the trail anywhere. And I'm like, okay, let's journey. And every step is, can be tantric. Right? It's not just, tantra is not the goal. Like it's never goal oriented. It's never, oh, I'm tantric when I have three orgasms and one sexual experience. Tantric is, can I be present with what's happening in my body in this moment as I weave together the massive crazy polarities of this life and show up as my best self, show up loving what is. That's tantric. That's the embodiment of tantra.
I love your description, Alila. And I also, I'd like to, because you just inspired me, I'd like to read a little piece that's on your website. And I just love your wording. Right. There's energy inside of you, the most powerful, holiest, cleanest, and boundless source of energy on the planet. This life force energy is waiting, buried inside you like a sacred treasure, available for you to direct in ways that serve and support you. This energy is an unlimited resource, and like fire, only gets brighter the more you stoke it. I love that. And to me, that in so many ways embodies what I think of as the tantric energy.
Yes.
And then I would also just add the piece, because people who work with me know that my work has a lot to do with consciousness. And so I would say the part of tantric work that also interests me is where we're evolving and expanding our consciousness. So it's emerging in some ways of the physical,
yes,
and the other realms.
Yes. Right? The realms. In tantric experience, we call the, so I'm going to use the word feminine and masculine, and it's not in a gender way, but it's in an energetic way. Like energetically, we all have inside of us a feminine quality and a masculine quality, right? So the feminine quality of energy, which tantrically we call Shakti, is movement, it's energy, it's life, it's us on the dance floor. We're like, yes, it's moving through my body, right? And the energetic imprint of the masculine is consciousness. So when I say there's a buried life force inside of you, for me, everything starts at the womb, everything starts at the pelvic floor, everything starts at the roots. And according to the tantric scriptures, there's Kundalini, which is just our potent life force snake, is waiting for us at the base of our spine. And as we move her through our body and awaken her, she meets consciousness. She meets Shiva, right? Or the divine or the embodied masculine. I actually am starting to get away from using like divine masculine and feminine, because it feels to me like out here, where I'm so much more like the embodied feminine, the embodied masculine. So when the embodied feminine inside of me energy meets the wild creative movement, meets consciousness or the embodied masculine energy inside of me, then I'm merged, then I'm whole, then I'm in union with myself. And so the trick here is can I use my potent life force to enhance my consciousness? And that's tantra. Like I'm not just, and so much of the disease with tantra is, okay, I'm going to awaken my life force and have all these multiple orgasms, but like, where is that going? What is the prayer? What is the consciousness? What are we evolving and moving towards? So when we bring that piece of consciousness in, it clicks in a way where we're like, oh, now I have access to life force. And when it's backed behind my consciousness, I'm only going to make decisions for my heart, right? I'm only going to move towards evolution, towards the best for humanity, because now I have all this energy. I have a massive magnetic field. And then in alignment with the consciousness drives it. If not, we're just chaos. We're either chaos or we're stoic, right? We're rigid or we're chaos, let's say, is like the pendulation. So like too much consciousness becomes rigidity. I have to meditate at this time every single day and right? It's rigid. And too much of the Shakti becomes chaos, and I've been there. So inside of ourselves, and I just want to say this because it's coming through me right now, but so many people that I work with come to me and say, I need a man or I need a partner who has that quality so my feminine can feel able to surrender. And I'm like, no. Your masculine and feminine essence inside of you has to be so solid and so matched and so paired that both are coexisting. And then we can be in whole partnership. Mm-hmm. Right? We can mirror that. So I meet my masculine feminine bows to my partner's masculine and feminine. Not like, oh, I'm so feminine and he's so masculine and it works.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're speaking to, you know, we've crossed to a lot of portals in the last 5 minutes. So I'm going to just try to unpack a little bit for our listeners, because this is juicy and I want people along for the ride.
Right.
So sure. This is gorgeous. So a couple pieces I'd like to pull in. One, you're talking about the Kundalini snake, and a lot of us know what you're talking about and some people don't. Would you mind just speaking a little bit more to that energy and what that is?
Sure. Yeah. So, I just want to start by saying I'm not a Kundalini teacher, although that I've studied and worked with Kundalini energy since 2008. I studied Kundalini Tantra. So this is like the tantric version of Kundalini energy. So Kundalini energy is our life force energy. It's our prana, it's our mana, it's our God force. It's literally what brings life into our bodies, right? So it's said that the Kundalini is like a snake. The snake is the symbolic representation of the Kundalini energy, because the snake is transformation. And anybody knows that starting a spiritual path, especially a tantric path or any other path, you're going to go through layers and layers and layers and layers of transformation, shedding and shedding and shedding. And so the snake is also represented. So it's sexual, right? The snake is like the way that it moves. It's slithery. There's like this sexual fluid conduit energy to it, right? So as we awaken it, she just starts to rise, and it's not like it's, and sometimes she turns around like the Ouroboros, and she eats her tail and she eats herself and she dissolves herself and then she goes back, right? So it's this journey of the snake or of our life force coming up our spine. In yoga, we'll call that Sushumna Nadi. We can also, in yoga, we would talk about something like chakras, and I really don't want to get too deep in chakras, but for anybody who just has that, like, okay, I've heard that, right? They're just constellations of energy vortexes inside of us that have different imprints, different energies. So imagine like my body is its own celestial map, right? So as the snake energy, the Kundalini energy awakens, she'll come in and she'll open different celestial maps inside of my body, which open different energies for both healing and awakening. So that's why Tantra is loving all that it is, because in any moment, I'm like deep in the shadow And I have to love myself there. And at any moment, I feel like, I'm God consciousness and I can't get stuck there. So it's like, we have to just, and so the Kundalini is the life force energy. And in the tantric scriptures, it says that she comes up, she meets Shiva, her consort, right? She ascends, she meets Shiva, and then they descend together as one.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And if anybody has seen the images, you'll know what I'm talking about, right? Coming back. And often it's connected really to our spine. So that sort of energy, if people are just basically trying to feel it in their bodies, that's a good place to feel.
Yes.
Alila, thank you. That was, I think, really helpful. We have an audience who's going to be covering a wide range of knowledge. So I want everybody along for this ride. So we put some little pieces in place. When in this place, we're talking right here, we've got the tantra and we've got the way that the energy is moving through. I think of your work in so many ways as being work that's really around pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pleasure is like this big juicy word in your work. It covers a lot of territory.
Sure.
Again, pleasure can have sort of this way that I would actually say is a puritanical society in many ways. If we're specifically talking about the United States, and we have audiences from all over the world. So whatever part of this resonates as you're listening, may you find that in your own conversation.
Yes. But
we come from a culture that in many ways has a lot of shame around pleasure.
Yeah.
And we're bringing it out right now today, asking people to play and exploring it. And I'm guessing probably some of the shadow of this is coming up. What is your experience of where do you go with when people are having some stuckness or fear around feeling pleasure? Like, how do we get there?
Pleasure can be a big word for some people, especially depending the way they were raised, depending what stories they've been handed down, if there's trauma in the system. Like pleasure, some people just don't feel like they deserve pleasure, that it's frivolous. So I like to think about pleasure as goodness inside of my body, or like the art of delight. So, you know, like when we want to go to a meal, we want it to taste good. Like that's pleasure. When we go outside, even just looking at the ocean, we're here in Hawaii, like that's a form of pleasure. So pleasure doesn't have to be, pleasure is not genital only. Pleasure is not sexual only, but pleasure is how much goodness will I allow myself to feel in this moment? So let's just take a moment and like check where you are in your rating of pleasure. Like typically when I ask someone, like, what are you sensing in your body? They'll go like, oh, my knee hurts and my neck's a little stiff. They instantly go to what hurts, right? So I want to challenge you, Kari, to find something inside your body that feels good, right? Because if we can't access pleasure, maybe we can access better. Maybe we can access good. Or maybe we can go like, my pinky feels okay. Okay, well, your pinky feels okay. So where's somewhere in your body that you can access a feeling of goodness?
I'm having several, but I would say I am really loving the feeling of my bare feet on the soft carpet.
Beautiful.
Simultaneous with my warm hands, holding each other, like I'm really aware of my own presence.
Beautiful. So let's just take those 2 points. So the warm hands, aware of each other, and the feet, bare feet in the carpet. And I want you to just lean into those two sensations and see what arises when you really lean in and you're like, ah, yes, that feels good. Mm-hmm. That feeling. And then notice if maybe another bubble up of goodness comes about.
Yeah, interestingly, I actually felt the warmth moving up to my arms and my heart softening a little, which is kind of surprising because I'm in a talking head position right now. So like to actually feel my heart soften.
Yeah. Let's just go for a minute and then I'll let you go. did you hear that? That's pleasure. That's all that is. So here she is feeling more goodness in her body and she might, yes. And I just want you to give out like a couple yeses. Now I'm going to give you permission to follow a yes. Like, ooh, yeah, that feels, yes.
So we're inviting all of our audience right now to be with us.
Absolutely.
Be with us. Being in this physical body, whatever you're doing, whether you're sitting by your computer or on the couch or in the bed or driving, allowing this.
Yeah, so in any moment, I can tune, and what you did is you just tuned into pleasure and you activated more pleasure in your body. You did it.
Beautiful. Yeah, so quick. And to name it as pleasure.
And name it as pleasure. Mm-hmm. And to go, that is actually pleasure. And I wasn't touching my genitals. I wasn't stroking my nipples, but that was pleasure. Mm-hmm. And pleasure is just coming into the awareness of our body and orienting or focusing on the goodness. That's pleasure. That's all that is. So for me, so much of the work is getting out of our head. And it was really sweet the way you even said, I'm surprised that I can open my heart when I'm in such this headspace. And it was that quick for you. And see how we like came through the back door? Mm-hmm. Like I didn't go, Kari, can you tell me where pleasure is in your body? You would have been like, I'm not, right? But when we kind of come through the back door and we start in the body and we go, hey, what's one thing that feels better inside of your body? What's one thing that feels okay or good? That is following the trail of pleasure. And so through the work that I do using a wide range of tools, mainly focusing on the vagina, on the yoni, which is sacred, basically sacred vagina in Sanskrit, sacred holy temple, the place where we go and pray, between our legs, the holy grail, and the pelvic floor. So, you know, we can come back to that kundalini. If the kundalini is going to rise, I need an intact pelvic floor. She's going to fall right out the bottom. And that's just like lack of boundaries. So there are so many different legs of this work where we can go, but basically just you accessing pleasure is you accessing that life force, right? And then when we have an intact pelvic floor or a pelvic floor that holds her boundaries, that knows who she is, that stands solid in who she is, then the snake can rise. Then we can get the energy going up to consciousness so we can serve humanity.
And then we have the whole, working together.
We have the whole experience.
Yeah. The whole experience. Mm. So this is part of what we're playing with. And Alila, when we think of, you mentioned it, you started out with it, but I'm going to just mention it right now because I'm asking all of the speakers. Yeah. The title is Wild and Awake. How do we live our best lives right now? How do you live your best life right now? And I know you have a couple responses to that, but also within this context.
Yeah.
In your work, go for it. I'd love to hear.
Yeah, I'm going to be present with what's coming through.
So
I want to say the wild and awake is exactly what we've just been talking about, because the wild is that feminine Shakti essence and the awake is that consciousness Shiva essence. And so when we merge them together, and Kari, you did this so beautifully, it's wild and awake inside of me. So like I can be wild, but I'm in my consciousness, I'm in my awakeness. So it's like I can be in chaos, but I'm in chaos with intention and prayer. Right. And that's the awake piece. Is there's a direction. So they say that sexual energy too is like this wild dragon. And like in order to really awaken the consciousness, we have to tame the dragon. And I don't really like to go into like control and taming. For me, it's like directing and orienting. So it's like I'm having all of this energy. So for example, and I'll get to your question in 1 second.
This is perfect. We go where we go. We're on the wander.
Yeah. So for example, we like wake up and I'm feeling full of energy. It's like the best day ever, right? What do I do with that energy? Do I direct it towards my prayer? Do I direct it towards my family? Do I direct it towards my garden? Do I call every person that I know and like give them the best advice ever so I can validate that I'm loved and needed in the world? Do I go on Instagram and make 15 stories and validate that people like me? Do I sit in front of my clients and serve the community that's here, you know, voting, serving me as well? So it's like that's the life force, right? And then how do we direct it? Mm. Where is it going? And that's the awake. And for me, the awake is the prayer. Like, what is the prayer of our life? What is the prayer of our life, right? If it's the best life ever, great. But the best life ever is like a unicorn. And like, what does that really mean to you? Right? Because every single person will have their own idea of what the best life ever is. And you and I, the picture that we'll create inside of our mind's eye of the best life ever probably isn't going to be the same. But what is going to be the same is we're both going to want to be happy, joyful, gratitude, full of pleasure, full of life, full of love, full of blessings, right? And the way that that's written, the way that that looks, the way that that feels is different for everybody. So for me, the best life ever, it's not some, again, the like multi-orgasmic divine union tantric goal. It's not out here. It's not outside of me. My best life ever is I woke up this morning. I'm going to first be authentic with how I am in the moment. You know what? I have a friend visiting. I've been run ragged. I just finished traveling from the mainland. This is my personal story. I was up way too late last night. I was at a different event. I woke up and I was like, I really want to show up sparkly and happy and alive for Kari in this community. Okay, I'm going to go get my sauna. Okay, I'm going to go wash my face. Okay, I'm going to go for a walk and look at the sunshine. Okay, I'm going to feed my daughter a luscious meal and sit with her and have a blessing. And like, so it's like step by step by step, I'm reaching towards the next best thing. And that's the best life ever. It's like, I wake up and I'm like present where I am. Because so many people, they wake up and I'd be like, oh shit, I'm groggy. And like, how am I going to do this interview? And like, can I cancel or can I like rearrange? Or maybe I should have another cup of coffee and then I'm all here like, right? But instead I wake up and I'm like, cool, that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And I know the wild and awake inside of me is right here with direct access. So how do I weave that into my prayer of showing up the best of me right now? And what's my next best step? So my work is all about titration, which if we have any scientists, it's like a little bit at a time, because if we pour too much, the potion explodes, right? So what's the next best baby step moving forward towards my best self showing up for my life?
And the switch that I'm hearing in some ways is that it's not about a best life, it's about a best self.
Yes.
And I'll also make a distinction that it's also between like my best life ever and my best life right now.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes. And that's exactly what I'm talking to. My best life right now is not, oh, I woke up and there's like thousands of dollars dropped in my bank account, or, oh, I woke up and my boyfriend said he loved me. Like my best life now is, so much of my work is the out inside out. And so much of our collective is the outside in. Like I feel happy if someone tells me good news from the outside, but our best life is I generate joy from within me. And that's so much of the work that I do with women. And I mean, I work with men too, and I work with all people. Mainly I work with women because I do a lot with, you know, vaginal care and pelvic floor health. And it's really about how do we generate the energy, and exactly like you said, and merge it with our consciousness to bring forth our prayer in this moment.
And Alila, one of the things you just shared, which I'm just going to break it down a little bit, because I've heard you say, like, when you wake up in the morning and you're like a two,
yes,
the question might be like, okay, in order to function today, I might need to be a four.
Yes.
And what do I need to do that? And something you just offered, which felt really clear, is like having a few things that I know help make this happen. Can you share with people? Because that I feel like that's a really rich part of your practice and what you offer.
Yeah. So with my clients, a lot of times I invite them to do this really sweet thing where they take like a mug or a vase. And when you're feeling in that best mood, when you're feeling a 10, write down things that make you feel really good, you know? And then when you wake up and you're that 2, sometimes I have them like, just pick out of, because not everyone can wake up at 2 and reach for a 3. Some people wake up at 2 and reach for the coffee and the chocolate and the, and they're like, well, I'm already at 2. I might as well just like sink into the 2 a little bit more. Like that old expression, like, I'm just having one of those days. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and then it keeps like, Kari shared with me just before, she like spilled a bunch of water all over her desk.
We saved the moment.
And it could have been one of those like, oh, here we go. And you could have spiraled.
I had a choice in the moment. There was a moment there. I was with the wet towel knowing that we're just going to start. Yes. And it was like, there's a choice right now.
That's it. And that's it, is that if we can pause and go, sweetheart, you have a choice. Are you going to choose to spiral into that too and dig yourself in that deeper hole that you know so well and that you don't like being in? Or are you going to reach for that 3? You have a choice. I know that reaching for that 3 seems like a big reach right now. But how does it feel, right? Going down the, right? And so we take a moment and you might have said like, I have a choice. I can get angry. I can get sad. I can get annoyed. I can get anxious. I could, and then you would have showed up to this interview really differently, to this conversation. Instead, you're like, I'm going to choose to let it be okay.
In fact, it was kind of funny when I got that there was a choice. In fact, like, oh my gosh, like, of course I would spill an enormous glass of water all over my desk. And blessed be, I had just lifted up my laptop. Like, that's the beauty of it, right? It's like all that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's really important. And I have most people at some point write down that list of things that make you feel good, mm-hmm. right? Some people might use the word pleasure. What brings you pleasure? For me, like easy access. I have a sauna in my house. I love going in my sauna. Like the sweat just instantly does it for me. I love washing my face. I love moving energy through my body. That's really like always a go-to for me. Some days I wake up and I have a quick access to like self-pleasure, and that's like available, you know, and sometimes I do want to make the tea and put fresh rose petals and make it a little bit more decadent. Sometimes I just want to take a bath with essential oils and powders. And, you know, it's like we have to meet ourselves where we're at and then know those things that make us feel better, because we all have those things. And we all have those things that make us feel worse that we're so programmed to reach to. And so, like you said, that choice is really breaking up the program. It's going like, wow, that's the like, what's that called? The
cause and effect.
Yeah, no, that wasn't what I was reaching for, but that's the like, when it just happens, when you're not even thinking about it, that's the like unconscious pattern. I'll just land there. So we pause and we're like, whoa, okay, I can reach for something else.
Right, right. Yeah, I love that. And that, and I see that as being something that we look, that we practice. It's a practice, right?
Totally. We
that. Our society doesn't teach that. In many ways, our society has us being like, you know, I got up in a bad mood today. I'm in a bad mood today. I wore my bad mood hat.
Like, you gave me a bad mood and she's in a bad mood and he's in a bad mood. And now we're all in a bad mood and you ruined the mood and now the day's done. And so many people, I hear so many people say that, like, the day's over, the mood's just bad. I'm like, it's like 2:00. What do you mean the day's over? And every moment we have an opportunity to change. And that's the gift, is in every opportunity, we have a moment to change. We have an opportunity to redirect. We have an opportunity to take a new course. And it's not going to be like a 180, but it might be just like a, okay, I'll make a better choice with food for lunch just because I know that that'll make me feel better. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing I just want to say is that we're all human and there's going to be moments where we all, you know, go down the spiral. And the most important thing we can do is get out of a shame and guilt pattern. Most important. And that's going to be actually what builds that muscle back to making the new patterns. Mm.
Yeah, the shame and guilt pattern. I want to say that the idea of like, oh, I don't really like don't have time to go do this. Like I would say for myself, I'm I'm doing a big event right now. I have all these people I'm speaking. I'm hosting this big thing. I don't have time to go for a walk down to the ocean.
Right.
Or it's too much to sit down with a friend for lunch. I might actually feel guilty doing something like that. Yeah. How do you work with that kind of guilt or shame? I would say I don't have it that heavy because I work, you know, I work on it, but I see it around me all over the place.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the simple thing that just comes to my mind is like, we don't have time not to, first and foremost. And secondly, there's a pattern that's somatically, so somatic means inside your body, right? So there's something in your nervous system or inside of your body where that guilt comes from. And that would be something that I would have to kind of track down through your body and go like, where does that guilt actually live? And when we tune into that guilt, what does it have to say? Oh, that reminds you of something that happened in your childhood. Cool. Well, let's go in and repair that. And so much of the guilt and shame is there's something there close to me, typically from my childhood, that doesn't feel good. And I was programmed to feel this way. So every time I get close to it, I fall right in. And that's the pattern that I run. So much of this work, there's an ancient Japanese practice of putting gold inside ceramic pottery to bring it back together. It's called kintsugi.
Like when a cup breaks or something like that.
It's yeah, exactly.
Oh, beautiful.
And that practice describes so much of this work because the cup's actually more beautiful after it's been put back together with the gold. And we all come into this life with fractures, with cracks, right? And we're going to continue getting cracks. We can't avoid fracture. We can't avoid trauma. It's part of being human. It's part of the spectrum of life. But how capable or able am I to repair it, to fill it with gold and to keep moving forward and like wearing my gold as armor, wearing my gold as adornment, right? Mm-hmm.
You're using the term trauma, and I know that that's used a lot nowadays. It used to not be used as much. And we also are distinguishing a little bit between big T trauma and little T trauma. Mm-hmm. And I would say in some of what you're speaking about, I think of like the little T traumas that we might not actually notice.
Exactly.
Right? Like, how would you describe that?
The little T traumas are just, so trauma overarching, let's just say it's too much, too soon, too fast, right? So something happened that was either too much, too soon, or too fast for my system to digest in the moment. So like someone just shoved an entire chocolate cake into my mouth. I wasn't ready for it. I was already full from dinner. And now I'm like, sitting on a brick of chocolate cake in my stomach that's not digesting, right? And then as we digest it and we like burp it up, that's like when it comes up for repair. It's like, oop, okay, another layer, oop, another layer, right? So that's more of like our big T trauma where we're like, okay, I just fucking ate an entire chocolate cake. Like that was a big deal. But these little T traumas are like overeating, where settles in the stomach. And then what happens is if we don't keep moving it through, so like if we don't take the time to repair it in the moment by either like doing a lot of water to flush it out or maybe doing a colonic the next day or whatever it is to help it move, it's lodged in the colon. Mm. And so every time I overeat again or something gets close to that feeling, that same feeling keeps coming up, that same story and that same pattern. So like these little T traumas are like little tiny fractures, like little paper cuts that if I look at my hand, I might not even see them. But if someone put pressure there or if a paper cut it again, it's gonna hurt and then it's gonna get deeper and deeper. So it's like, we have to take the time in the real present moment. And there's times even with my boyfriend, I remember saying like, okay, something just happened. And I know that I could really quickly just like move through it and pretend that it didn't happen and like be all good. but I know that later on it's going to come up again and it's not going to feel good and it's going to just start stacking. So like, I know this is really inconvenient for what needs to happen right now, but I really just need to do a quick repair so that we can keep moving forward and that this doesn't become a little T trauma. So it's all about like catching those moments where, and we can feel in our body when something feels like too much. And sometimes it's just mini things, like with my daughter, if I have a moment where I'm like, ah, and I'm like, you know what? I could have done that really better. And can we talk about it? And we have a repair. And she's like, okay, that would have felt better if you did it this way. And I'm like, yeah, next time we'll do it this way. And that's repair.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, she's so good at knowing what she needs. That's beautiful.
She's so good. Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Thank you. That was helpful. And part of what I'm hearing in it too is that, and I would assume is that when we have these little T traumas, it keeps us from feeling even the, or it might block the little pleasures, not just the pleasures, but also the little pleasures, right? Yeah. They're all in a trajectory.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what happens is like we're in our, let's call it our river of life. And I'm flowing down my river of life. And there's a portal over here, a vortex of trauma, and a portal or vortex of pleasure, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm flowing in my river of life, and I know that there's a trauma portal here, and if my boat gets too close to it, I'm going to go in and just start spinning around. Mm-hmm. So one of two things are going to happen. I'm going to go towards it and just like be comfortable over in the trauma vortex, right? Or I'm going to get so far away from it that I don't go anywhere near it for fear of going into it. But what happens is you can see my river went from this big to this big.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, if we go back to the beginning, pleasure is how much goodness can I allow to flow through my body? So if my flow is this much, I'm allowing this much pleasure to flow through my body. But if now I'm over here desperately avoiding trauma, look how little my river is.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of access to goodness flowing through my body because I'm narrowing my river, my flow, my channel, right? Mm-hmm. So the healing medicine here, and I've heard, I've done a lot of studies with Dr. Peter Levine, and he said that we actually need pleasure to heal trauma. So yeah. You have these two vortexes side by side. And what we need to do is we go on the very outskirts of the trauma vortex, just a little T. And then we go towards a little peep.
Mm-hmm.
We go a bit, and then we go back to our river. And every time we do that and go back to our river expands.
Mm.
You can imagine the river is just for capacity. Yeah.
That is beautiful. That is so powerful. I love that river image.
Yes, because it makes us start to understand that I actually need to put pleasure inside my system to heal my trauma. Because again, we can go back to Tantra, pleasure and pain are going to be equals. Like we have to be able to bring them both into our system without our systems failing.
Yes. Mm. So Alila, I love where we're going here. And I want to bring us back because I'm so aware of when someone has trauma in their system, that's just part of the story. We also have like space for pleasure and I like kind of remembering those two bandwidths. And so coming back into the space that has for pleasure, also how do we support the pleasure actually physically in the body, not just as a concept. And I know you a lot with women's holistic health and the whole range, but I'm gonna hand that to you. That's your wheelhouse. how do we play there?
Yeah. So a lot of times when there's trauma in the system, so any range of too much, too soon, too fat, we jump out of the body because when we come out of the body, that's where one might feel safe. Right? So they leave the body and then there's this like dissociation. So most women, when I first start working with them, have a hard time even coming inside their body because their body doesn't always feel safe. It doesn't feel like a safe place to be if it's been, if there's been trauma there. So we start slowly bringing breath, movement, awareness, feeling, like really feeling's the big one. So instead of saying, how are you? I could say, what are you sensing? What are you sensing inside your body? And this is a tool that anyone can use at any moment if we're feeling anxious or overwhelmed. What are three things that I'm sensing inside my body? Oh, I'm sensing like my heart's beating a little quick because I know that I'm on camera right now. Oh, I'm sensing a lot of warmth coming up from my spine because I'm feeling really excited to be here, right? Oh, I'm sensing like something happening in my shoulder blades back here that want to open a little bit more. And so much of the time what happens is someone from the outside in might go, I feel anxious, right? Well, what are you actually sensing in your body? I'm feeling butterflies in my stomach. I'm feeling heat rising. Well, those butterflies in your stomach, could they be exciting? Could we transmute that energy and tune into that feeling of the butterflies, right? And then we just start going layers deeper. So it's all about, like I said, so much of my work is inside out, not outside in. So the first thing we do is we bring a person into their body. And that might just be for a moment. That might be, okay, I'm in my body and I'm out. It's a lot there. Okay, I'm in my body and I'm out. But that practice of sensing, it's almost like an internal orientation. That practice of what am I actually feeling inside my body right now? That's like a primary, fundamental, very easy practice that slowly starts to bring our awareness inside. Oh, I'm feeling like I really need to pee. I should go do that. And so then we have this, I call it body literacy, where we start to, because we're so used to overriding our body sensations. Like how many women hold their pee all day? How many women don't drink water or eat when they're supposed to? Oh, I'm not supposed to eat lunch right now because I da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? But when we start to tune into those moment-to-moment sensations, oh, I'm really going to go pee before I do my next thing. Oh, I'm going to grab some food before I get on this interview and nourish my body. Oh, I really need to exercise. I'm feeling like sluggish, right? So the more we do that, again, we talked about it in relation to something else, we're just building the muscle. We're building the muscle memory to go, body, I listen to you and I respond. And that's body literacy. And the more we do that, then the more we inhibit our body, right? Like there's people who use their body, they exercise. There's people who are not anywhere inside their body. And then there's people who are like embodied. And so when I'm embodied, that means that I'm listening and responding to my body in the real time. And then I also have that direct access to goodness, to pleasure, to the flow, right? And that's in conjunction with how much have I unraveled those big T and little T traumas? How much space have I made? You said the word space. How much space are we making? How much space do we actually have here? If my room is overflowing, I'm not buying anything new. There's nowhere to put it. So much of the trauma in the system is just let's make some space. Because what wants to come through your system is pleasure. Life wants to be in pleasure. It wants to. Look outside. Flowers want to be blossoming. The sun wants to be beaming down on you. Like our bodies were made to feel the whole range of the experience, but we're here to feel pleasure. We're here to feel good, right? So much of it is clearing out the way. So I don't know the exact quote, but one of my favorite Rumi quotes, and I'm not going to say it exactly right, but it's something like, it's not about seeking love. It's about seeking all the barriers that I've put up against love. And it's the exact same with pleasure. It's not about, oh, I'm going to go out and like masturbate every single day until I feel pleasure, right? It's not seeking pleasure, but it's actually like breaking down the barriers that I've put up against the pleasure that is here in this moment for me. And that's best life, right?
Right there.
Right there.
Right there.
Get on the plane, that's it.
Oh, Lila, I love your work. I love your realness, your presence. You're telling it like it is. Thank you. A stunning, wonderful conversation. For people who want to find you, what's the best way to find you?
So the best way to find me would be my website, which is my name, Alila Grace. And I'm sure you'll spell that out somewhere, .com. Mm-hmm. And there, .com. Yeah, you can find the courses that I offer, and you can find, I have something called the Rose Room, which is lots of, I call it the highest echelon of vaginal care products. And I do sometimes make an appearance on Instagram. I have a lot of archives of amazing content there. I'm just really in a phase of my best life where I am turning my energy towards what's present in front of me in the moment. But that's a really great place to see a lot of archives. If people have a lot of questions and just want to understand what I do a little bit more, I have hundreds of reels and videos and things there.
And you have a beautiful website with a lot of beautiful things there. But I would encourage you, you're giving us a 3-day pleasure activation, which is a fantastic tool. Wonderful. Thank you so much. So generous. And just encouraging all of you to get your gift and to follow what Alila's offering right now. This is such a beautiful way for us at this stage of the journey of the work that we've been doing in Wild and Awake to really, we've covered a lot of territory. And right now, today, we're really dropping into this body's experience, this body's pleasure. Mm-hmm. And done such a wonderful, gorgeous job of taking us down this path today and offering us tools and options and ways of being with the experience that may be very different than how a lot of people have experienced.
Yes, absolutely.
Very grateful for you opening this door. For some people, maybe this is a door you've walked through. And if so, you know, blessed be, keep walking, keep expanding. There is so much more than we have actually, most of us have experienced.
Yes.
And then Alila is an amazing guide and teacher in this territory. Thank you for being here, and all of our wonderful audience. Thank you for being here in this on Wild and Awake, in this context of expanding our minds and our lives and our bodies, our experiences, and being willing to be curious, being willing to take on seeing what's outside of the box you might have had up till now, and seeing what more is possible. Thank you for being here. Aloha.
Aloha.